It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Hey, zooming in once again for another rousing session of counseling and reviewing a subject that you've talked about several times, and I think you've said it's one of your more popular topics, and that is dealing with addiction, addiction recovery, and you want to kind of bring some fresh light to this subject.
Yeah, addiction is becoming such a prevalent issue. Let me define what I mean by addiction, because I was looking at, just out of curiosity, I Googled define addiction, and it wasn't a definition. AI didn't provide a definition that was really particularly useful. So I said, well, I'm going to come up with my own, and although I'm sure there are a number of definitions out there, but I think of addiction as a dependence on or inability to abstain from the use of a substance or abstain from or the dependence on a behavior. So people don't typically think of, like, for example, OCD, obsessive compulsive behavior, as an addiction. But in a sense, it is. It's a reliance on a behavior that's self-serving. Addictions are, you know, we think of them as being self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's very selfish, and also harmful or hurtful or wasteful to yourself or to other people. Like, a lot of times people think, well, it's addiction, it's my problem, but it affects other people. Mm. It affects your relationships, and it's counterproductive. And so I recall talking to a man who had a gambling addiction years ago, and one of the things in getting set free from addiction is realizing the cost of it. And I asked him to tell me, you know, what's it costing you? And he just had a dollar figure, a couple $1,000 every paycheck. But what he wasn't focusing on was the fact that his wife had left him. His daughter didn't want any have anything to do with him. So the cost wasn't just a dollar figure. And so addictions, they're selfish, and they do affect other people in ways that you may not know. You know, there's that scripture in Ephesians, I think it's 4:16, where it talks about that the body of Christ is built up by that which every joint supplies according to God's work in each individual. A joint is a relationship. So the body of Christ is full of relationships, and those relationships are bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and it's edifying the body of Christ. But if you're disengaged because you're tied up with selfish addictive behaviors, then it's affecting the body of Christ. So an addiction is not just, you know, your issue. It affects those that you touch. So that's kind of a definition of, and then I have down here covert and overt addictions, because there are so many behaviors that we, I think what David would call and the Psalms would call presumptive sins. Let not my presumptive sins have dominion over me. And those are things that we are pretty sure they might not be on the up and up, but we're getting away with it, and nobody's shaking a finger at us. So those are kind of covert, what I would think of as covert addictions, things that we can get by on. Nobody's going to call us on it because it's not really evident. And a lot of times we might have an addiction to something we don't even realize is an addiction. As a matter of fact, I think any overt addiction, obvious addiction, begins with the covert addiction. Just you know, I'm not really addicted. I do it a lot, you know. And what that could be, any, that doesn't have to be a substance. That can be, well, your cell phone. You know, how many people would be able to leave their cell phone home, say when they go to the grocery store or if they're going over to a friend's house? No, we always have to have that with us. And so, and that leads to other kinds of addictions.
I would say it's definitely a portal for all kinds of addiction. It enables, it's a real enabler of deeper addiction, whether it's pornography or, you and I were mentioning too, gambling on everything from sports to the color of something that's going to show up on the field. You were saying people gamble on the color. What's the color of the Gatorade going to be?
Yeah, what's the color of the Gatorade? You know, they gamble on so many ways to gamble. And you're right. It's just, it's like escalating. It's become, and I, you know, before we turned our finances over to an advisor, I had a lot of fun with the stock market. I wasn't a day trader or anything like that, but I became obsessed with clicking in and seeing how the stocks were doing, and you know, is there one that's looking good? And it was like I couldn't leave it alone. And so people get addicted to lots of different things, and it begins to take over their life. And so so what leads to addiction? Well, there's a simple addiction cycle that I've drawn up, but I have in my mind now. It's circular a cycle, and it's got four stops. And the first stop is, I think that addictions begin with anxiety and depression. And that's, or you could say, well, I don't have anxiety and I don't have depression. Well, anxiety is worry about anything. That's anxiety.
Yeah, just feelings you can't handle.
Yeah,
feelings you can't handle. It starts with that.
Yeah, yeah, and so that leads to a lot of times to boredom. You know, any parent has heard their child say, "There's nothing to do," and then the child has heard the parent say, "Well, why don't you help with the dishes, or right. Why don't you clean your room, or something?" And say, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, I want something to do that will help me rid this sense or this anxious feeling that I'm not doing anything, or that I must do something. And what they mean is, I want something fun, and that's kind of like the first two stops of the addiction cycle. We go from some lower sense of anxiety, just an angst, or a depressed kind of worrying about things, and that quickly goes to boredom. And then from boredom, we try to imagine something that we could do that will alleviate this feeling. And it's typically something that we're going to enjoy or have fun with. And then we fantasize about that, and then we act on it. So you have the anxiety, the boredom, the fantasy, and then you act out on the fantasy. And so reversing that, you know, they teach you to eliminate all the chances or the opportunities for acting out, and then you're stuck back at the fantasy. And then if you continue that, you'll be back at the boredom, and then you eventually have to deal with the anxiety. And so the thing that leads to addictions is those feelings of angst, because it's a behavior that I become dependent on in order to deal with self-medicate, get away from the anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
So the question comes up, that being the case, is it easier to be addicted today than it has been in past times? And I think, well, there's a lot more to worry about today. I mean, people have always found things to worry about, but you know, we were talking the last couple shows, we were talking about AI, and I don't know if it came up, but in one of the interviews that I was watching of John Lennox, they were talking about how there are people who are worried, and these are not just little people. These are big people who are worried that AI in a few short years could take away a good many white collar jobs. So and I know that automation and technology has taken away a lot of work, the kinds of work typically that men need, for one thing, challenges, heavy work, big work, hard work. They need those things, and a lot of those kinds of jobs have disappeared. And you know, we need to get off on the work force, but increasingly there are, at least if you're on the coastal states, there's a lot of immigration, and those people are willing to take some of these jobs that used to be the blue collar jobs, and then a lot of people won't take those jobs anymore, and so they're stuck with a lot of time to kill.
So it has increased where there is legitimate worry and concern about the future.
I think there's a question of hope, because also, you know, faith is. Although I know that in parts there are revivals going on, but But there's a big, great, great question about, you know, the existential question about why are we here? And there's so much, there's really a push. Peter Hitchens wrote a book some years ago, The Rage Against God, and how that just about every social issue or every social issue is really anger toward God. So you got that. So you've got hopelessness. You've got work problem, the breakdown of community. And I just have down here lack of vision.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the things that I think today make addictions much easier to fall into because, well, people are self-medicating and medicating more than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
This pharmaceutical industries are doing
their heyday. But does the pharmaceutical approach, do they claim that that reduces addiction? Are there claims that if you take a pill, you'll have less addiction?
Well, this is kind of like a secular thing, isn't it? Because yeah, the medication can certainly treat the anxiety and depression, but now you're hooked on the medication.
Mm.
Now you're addicted to, and some of those medications are highly, highly addictive.
Mm.
Not only physiologically, but mentally addictive.
Mm.
You know, I know people who you know, they can see a panic attack coming a month off, and
right.
so they got to have those pills. You know,
right?
It's like almost a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, looking at addiction this week, and maybe some we'll get into some ideas on how to get unaddicted, how to break that addiction on the Sound Mind Show with Daniel Pryor. Daniel, you deal with a lot of people struggling with addiction, and you've got some great ideas. And how would people get in touch with you for more help?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find years and years of podcasts. And again, 425-778-6169.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, we're looking at the subject of addiction, how to maybe break an addiction. Society seems to tend more toward addiction than ever before. And Daniel, you deal with you help a lot of men in this area. A lot of men get counseling from you for addiction. You're not against groups and things like that, 12-step groups, but a lot of times it does require more of a one-on-one kind of coaching to get through some of this.
Yeah, I was going to say, getting out of an addiction is not easy. Even with counseling, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And even with a 12-step group, it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the alternative is not good. So you have to do it. A lot of times the groups aren't for everyone, but they do work well for a lot of people. It really depends on the group, how the group is moderated, the success of the group leader. I think a lot of times, because if you've got a group leader that keeps, getting caught back into it, you know, you're just floundering. But if you have a group with a good, solid group leader,
mm-hmm.
who's walked the walk and knows how to get out, groups can be good. So there's kind of a team spirit. And
what about the thing that happens with Christians a lot of times? They feel like, well, if I become a Christian, then God is going to instantaneously set me free from this addiction. This seems to be a burden.
Be nice.
This seems to be a burden that many people feel. And oh boy, I'm not addicted, so I'm not saved. And so there's all this religious element that comes into it. Talk to that person, because I think that's who a lot of people you deal with are Christians, and they do feel a lot of times like they should just be able to. Why doesn't God just heal me of this?
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it is going to take some work. It took some work to get into the addiction, and unfortunately, It is going to take some work to get out with God's help, but it does. Yeah. I mean, occasionally God will touch someone and they'll be set free instantaneously from alcohol or whatever it is. But but most of the time it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, I've seen that rarely where a person, like, for example, I knew of a man who had a number of addictions and knew nothing about God, I don't think, but he went down. There was a group down at a park being baptized, and he kind of stumbled in, loaded, and said he wanted to be baptized. And for some reason, the man who was doing the baptism happened to be a person who knew him from school years before. And so he baptized the guy, and the guy came up sober and never touched another.
Yeah, isn't that what we wish that always happened? But why does that seldom happen?
Well, and that man later on had struggles that he had to work through.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. What that means is that the tribulation is working for our good. The scripture says that he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So that's part of the process. We have to develop a disdain for sin. And you don't do that if it's easy to get out. Easy to get out, easy to get in, easy to get in. Our spirit has to be strengthened. We have to come to the place where we abhor evil and we delight in goodness. And that doesn't happen.
Instantaneously.
Instantaneously. Uh-huh. Not very often. So it's not easy. It requires, for most people, it requires a plan. And so you have to replace it. You can't just stop. There's those the parables in Luke of the kingdom where, Jesus tells a parable about a treasure in a field and the pearl of great price, where the man found the treasure in the field, and so he sold everything that he had and bought the field. Or he saw a pearl of great price and he sold everything that he had to buy that pearl. And so implied in that is they saw the value of that treasure. They saw the value of that pearl. It was unlike anything else that they had seen, but they had to look at it. They had to look at it. And so, you know, relief or delivery from an addiction is not just going to come out of nowhere. You have to replace it. And so this is kind of an acquired taste. There is a way. Well, remember Proverbs, this is 29:18 says, without a vision, and I like the one translation, it's without a progressive vision, the people wander aimlessly. And that's what an addict is, wandering aimlessly. Other translations say the people perish. So you have to have a progressive vision. There's got to be something. Now, people that are not believers, that are not in the faith, they will also have to set a goal. The problem with that is you have to keep replacing the goal with something else. But as a believer, you can have that ultimate goal, that ultimate point of reference, the kingdom of God, as demonstrated in the body of Christ. Yeah. So we need that. I do have a pattern that I use, steps of change. Won't go into it deeply here, but I'll hit the top. So you certainly need, as I said, a vision. There has to be a reason for you to change. And I've often asked people say, you know, I want to stop looking at pornography, or I want to stop smoking marijuana, or I want to stop drinking. And sometimes I'll just ask them why they would want to do that. And a lot of times I'm not quite sure why they want to do it, and which is a problem, because you have to want to do it. There has to be something that it's costing you. So you have to have a purpose, a vision. And you have to be able to count the cost. What is the cost of not attaining that? And like I reflected earlier on the man who thought the cost of gambling was $2,000 a week, but he had lost his wife and he had lost his daughter. What's it costing me not to get this deliverance? What's it costing my family? What's it costing the body of Christ? And what's it costing me in terms of my relationship with God? You have to tally up the cost. The cost has to be so great, because I often say that you'll never cease a behavior unless it's costing you more than you're willing to pay. So you have to tally up the cost. And it's got to convince you that, that you need to pursue this vision or this goal or this objective. You have to have that objective, and then you have to have a method for pursuing it. And a lot of times, just simple things like a daily calendar or meetings that you attend, there's got to be a way for you to look at, you got to be able to look back on a day or a week or a month and say, okay, I've been successful for this. And then you have to, and then the last one, and I'm just hitting the tops of this. It's a little more in depth than this, but the last one, so I have vision, cost, objective, method, what am I changing? And then you have to review. You can't just tally up the cost. You have to keep going back and reviewing the cost, because as the temptation gets stronger, the cost of it has to also increase, or there would be a time when the temptation outweighs the cost. So you have to continue to review these things. And so this is a daily work of building yourself spiritually. And it requires this vision too. Ephesians 5:15-19 is that portion that says, be not drunk with wine. And so I just want to look at that, not in depth, but I wanted to kind of hit the tops of the hills here. If we're looking at Ephesians 5:15-19, one of the says, be careful how you walk, make good use of your time. And why would I want to make good use of my time? Well, that implies that I have some kind of work or vision or objective. And so making good use of my time is pursuing that. It says, don't be foolish. And scripture tells us what foolish is. A fool said in his heart, there is no God. And so even believers quite often live as though there is no God. Reading the book by John Lennox again, and he asks himself, do I really believe that? You know, when he reads these, we're reading scriptures, talking about, you know, putting on Christ and the power over sin and you know, things like the reality of Christ's resurrection, and asking ourselves, do we really believe that? Do I really believe that? And it's one of those questions that I think that the answer just kind of hangs out there. You know I believe, but do I really believe? Do I really believe? There's this paradigm shift that has to take place where we really see the treasure in the field, the pearl of great price. We really see the kingdom of God as something that is not the shadow, but the reality. And so that's a, don't be foolish, it says. Understand the will of the Lord. And so this talks about this paradigm shift, getting my eyes off of my world and my worries and my achievements and my material gain, and get them on the will of the Lord. And then it gets to the part that says, don't be drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, or another translation says, wherein is riot, or another one says debauchery. But really anything in excess, and because once again, that paradigm shift, when I'm caught up in this addictive behavior, it shifts my entire focus to my woes and my worries and my hopelessness, and my takes my eyes off the vision, takes my eyes off the kingdom of God. So it works doubly against me. But instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and melody, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's the way we would typically go around singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I mean, but it is, I remember in years past, most of the songs we sang in our little churches were scriptures put to music. And that's really what is talked about there. They didn't have a Bible. And so this speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they're talking about scripture. They're talking about the reality of the life that they're living. And so that's what's going on there. And that, but speaking to one another, it speaks immediately of relationship. And I often say that addiction is the opposite of relationship. And so remembering those things, you know, it's not easy to get out of an addiction. There is a way, but you have to replace it. You can't just stop it. You've got to replace it. And as believers, it's part of that paradigm shift of getting our eyes off of the shadow and onto the reality. having that, you know, seeing that treasure, seeing that pearl. And then it is a struggle, but the struggle is for our spiritual benefit. So not easy, but possible and needed.
And but you do need help a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And if people need help with addiction issues, you are there to help. You've dealt with a lot of people, particularly men who struggle with different things. And how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you'll find years of podcasts, shows. And again, 425-778-6169.
All virtual these days, too, so you can, on your lunch break, just get your phone out instead of doing bad things with your phone, do a good thing and get in touch with Daniel Pryor.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, BibleBasedCounselor.com for details. Okay. Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.